Welcome to Badly Written Boy, a reciting of my teenage years and my 20s, now as a 40-something. How do I remember all these things? I wrote it all down in a diary. Badly. Enduring with me on this retrospective, cringeworthy experience is my wife, who has never read my diaries. How are you?
I'm good. You look very animated today.
Yeah, I feel a bit more energetic than last time.
Okay.
Yeah?
Any particular reason why?
Decent sleep.
I feel like we should pay more attention to our own fashion now that we're doing videoed podcasts.
Yeah. Tell me about your attire today.
I was cold and this is warm, so I'll put it on.
I'm not cold, so I just put a hoodie on anyway just because it's new.
Because it's fashionable.
Yeah.
Yeah, totes.
Yeah. Okay, were we up to March? I think we were up to March.
Sounds right.
I got Margaret to take me to the library this morning so I could check my emails. I knew there'd be one from Dad, which was in response to my brief reply to his ludicrous email.
Was this the email about how Irene wasn't suitable?
Yes, and I was just doing it for the sex. I don't know that this is how you spell ludicrous. Would you like me to try and spell it?
It definitely isn't the way you spell ludicrous. I want to know if you spelt it like...
Don't tell me how you spell it.
No, I'm not going to, but I want to know if you spelt it like the singer ludicrous rather than the actual word.
L-U-D-O-C-R-I-S.
No, obviously not.
Ludo, like the game.
Yes.
And then just...
Chris.
Chris.
Yeah.
Ludo Chris.
No.
Okay. So fail.
Shock.
Badly written. He mentioned a few dates when I could come over for dinner, and those are Friday and Saturday night.
Ooh, for tuna mornay, delicious.
I'll probably go on one of the nights, but I don't want to go at all, really. I'd rather just catch him briefly so I could avoid any complicated conversations about the real issues I'd like to bollock him for. There's no way I'm going to go through that awful night without telling him he's an idiot for sending that email and an even bigger idiot for pulling out of paying Michelle's accommodation fees. For dinner this evening, Margaret cooked kangaroo steak.
Nice.
Which was accompanied by sausage and mash.
Okay, so that's random, and maybe this is where you get your random sense of cooking from.
Oh, this is Margaret, not Dad.
No, I know, but still, you do just pick random things in the cupboard and put them together.
What would you have with kangaroo, though?
Well, you'd have like mashed potatoes and veggies, wouldn't you? It's the sausages that are throwing me off.
Yeah, maybe that was like
in like case a mixed meat platter.
Did not go to plan.
But you're doing all right at Margaret's, sat there.
It's called gourmet.
Getting all this food cooked for you. Are you paying for groceries?
I doubt it. It didn't taste bad, but Margaret tells me some people completely disregard kangaroo meat and just feed it to their dogs. I hope she's not feeding me dog food. Shortly after that, she took me to see Million Dollar Baby at the Chermside Cinema. It's a good film, that.
It is a good film. I've rewatched that several times. Like, you've just got it so good again. Yeah.
Date with a pensioner.
Yeah, but you've landed, but again, though, you've landed somewhere where you're not having to pay rent. You've got someone that's cooking for you, probably cleaning for you and driving you around.
This is early days, bearing in mind she just came back and I was with Mitch initially.
Yeah.
And so she probably hasn't worked me out. Yet.
What, that you're a scrounger?
Well, I'm not a scrounger, I'm just a bludger.
It's the same thing.
Nah, scrounging is like just like, you know, thieving off with stuff. And
yeah, but this is essentially thieving off with stuff.
Margaret has been coming up with some random spontaneous things to help keep me entertained. It would be stupid of me to complain about it, but it has been quite overwhelming the way she just organises things. It's so quickfire, in fact, I can barely have time to decide whether it's actually something I want to do. That visit to the cinema last night, for example, oh, for God's sake, of course I'm going to go to the cinema. Like, why am I making a big deal about that? And today she was like, let's go to the zoo. On Friday, we're meeting her niece in the city and we're going to see The Aviator. Even this afternoon, she came home and asked whether I wanted to lift to the pool. I didn't ask for anything at all. I was just sitting playing champ, as I quite regularly do. I phoned Dad later today just to confirm dinner on Saturday night. Okay.
Which I'm sure you'll get Margaret to drive you to.
It's surely going to be an awkward encounter. I'm just going to see how it goes, play it cool, and keep my head on. A lot of the time, I can't help myself getting stirred up over the shit he pulls. Even as I write this, I seem to drift off in those fantasies where I tell him how it is. In a bit to entertain myself this evening, I cooked curry for myself and Margaret. I chucked on Dazed and Confused onto the PC It was either that or watch another one of Margaret's oh-so-interesting documentaries on something like credit card interest rates. Eesh. Really, I was finding something to complain about.
Always.
And she's going out, you know.
Going out of a way to help entertain you.
Yep.
Extraordinary things happened today.
Extraordinary. This could be good.
Good and bad. Margaret, I really wish you would spell her name right, got me up at 7-ish, not a time which I'm accustomed to at the moment. She has done so because she wanted to be the first one through the gates of Australia Zoo. Man, she's taking you to Australia Zoo.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I've been to zoos before, Edinburgh and Chester, for example, but Australia Zoo is something else. I did three things I've always wanted to do. I saw a Komodo dragon, I got to hold a koala. I also got to feed an elephant, the most fantastic creature of them all. Margaret may have paid me in.
May have?
Shock. She did. But I spent a lot of what little money I have left on photo development, photo to CD, and even a camera battery, all were which cunningly supplied by the zoo shop. Why are you wasting money on camera batteries?
For what camera?
I
must have a digital camera.
You must do. The flagship events of the zoo all took place in the You've written Crocoterium, but I think you meant
Crocoterium.
It's not Crocoterium, it's Crocoseum.
It is Crocoseum. Well, I've written that.
Which naturally featured crocodiles. Sadly, there was no Steve Irwin to exemplify or demonstrate the reptilians' power, but others were in place to do so.
Oh, he's still kicking on.
Still alive, yeah. The huge croc Murray was on display. They fed him. Apparently, his snap is £3,000 per cubic foot, equivalent of that used in Jumbo Jet's braking system.
That's a fun fact.
Mm. We also saw Galapagos turtles, Bengal tigers, a whole host of snakes. I could go on for a while. After the zoo, we briefly met an old guy called John who lives adjacent to the zoo and runs his orchid. I think you mean orchard, but you wrote orchid. In his retired years. Margaret knows him somehow, but he gave us fruit and spoke of the local hatred of Irwin and a helicopter scheme the zoo is trying to create. Interesting.
Local goss.
On the way home, an arsehole gave Margaret some road rage, but once he realised I was there, he pissed off. Oh, yeah, because you look so big and strong. Oh, my God, no, not Mark.
I just waved my fist at him.
He was like, you are so full of yourself. You're like, yeah, he saw me and said, oh, look at that giant boy. I got Margaret to put my computer in the trading post today. After initially deciding upon a price of $450, I hiked it to $500 because of a post-sale charge of $50, which I'm reluctant to pay. That's insane.
What?
The trading posts are going to charge you $50 after the sale. Oof. For selling something on there.
Yeah.
It's given me a few problems along the way, and I didn't use it for its original purpose, to relearn AutoCAD. Yeah. Wonder why that is.
Championship manager, I'd expect.
Yeah, basically. I declined her earlier offer to attend her French and German lessons, but when she got back from those, she was keen to tell me every skerrick of detail from them.
So I'm just sitting there listening to like random foreign words.
And then
trying to look interested.
How to say hello in German. And I don't know how to say hello in German.
I thought you were going to reel out some German there.
I was thinking, I know, guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag. Guten Nacht. It's like good night.
I'm just pretending because I don't know any German.
How do you say thank you in German?
I just made that one up.
No shit. If you ever meet Margaret, you'll soon realise she has a view on absolutely everything, which predominantly seems negative because she's a Green Party hypochondriac. And beware, if something doesn't contain organic on the label, it's not on her shelf. She's the only person I know who thinks Coca-Cola is more healthy than Diet Coke. This evening we went to South Bank in Brisbane to see the Aviator. Margaret's niece Heather and her fella Steve also came. They look like one of those perfect magazine couples and are really friendly. The film was really long but was just absorbing enough to see it through. Co-star Cate Blanchett had recently won her Oscar for a portrayal of Katharine Hepburn, the famous actor who spent some time with the crazed flying eccentric himself, played by Leo O. Who's Leo O?
Well, Leonardo DiCaprio is in it, but I don't know what I've written there.
You've written by Leo O. Maybe that's a D. After the movie, we burbled around the shops and markets on South Bank and had a steak for dinner. I wonder who paid for the steak.
Well, you know, we can only speculate.
And we are probably 99% accurate in our speculation.
I had to go over to Dad's for dinner this evening for a meal, and I was a bit nervous about going there. I know I'd wanted to give him some shit, but to be quite honest, I was far more at ease with my ignorance than the antagonism of conflict. I don't know if you call that chicken shit or high tolerance. Chicken shit, I'm scared to mouth off at Dad for the consequences, and high tolerance for my restraint at not mouthing off to these idiots I'm surrounded by. That sounds like a rant. Dad, Margaret, they're all fucking draining me. and I'm draining them, their wallets. I guess that's the price I pay. These are the people I surround myself with, and I don't even like them. Oh, Mark.
Oh, my God.
Come on. What's Margaret done wrong?
Margaret is taking you in, put a roof over your head. She's putting food in your belly. She's trying to keep you entertained for nothing.
Yeah, she hasn't worked me out yet.
Margaret took me over this evening to Dad's. He was in his kitchen washing up, so I just walked in. We chatted about what we'd been doing. He'd been walking, kayaking, working, same old shit. He hadn't been jogging recently. He had a sore knee. We went to Alderley for dinner. There was some rugby on, and he got the beers. The meal was good. I got a seafood basket and a slab of chocolate cake for dessert. We talked about cars mainly, and he didn't say a word about the email or Michelle's fees. In fact, he didn't mention Michelle at all. He asked how Phil was doing. He seemed to enjoy it and wants to do it again. I'm assuming that's the meal. Whatever. Earlier today, the coffee club rang. They want me to work for them. That's a load off my mind. I was tired today, even before I did anything. I didn't really want to do much, but Margaret announced she had plans to go and see Brisbane's redeveloped port and then head to her friends John and Carol. She asked if I wanted to go at all. I said no because I was tired, but she insisted there wouldn't be much walking involved. I reluctantly agreed. She waffled on in the car almost the entire way until she realised I wasn't even attempting to utter a grunt of approval at all or even acknowledge what the debate was about. Margaret insisted we looked for Fort Linton, Brisbane's historical coastal defence. I'm so glad Margaret didn't agree to go on the hour and a half long tour. The fort itself was partially hidden underground, and there was old guys who used to work in it hanging around. They were desperate to talk to anyone, like three Grandpa Simpsons in old uniforms. A couple of 60-year-old gun turrets is really nothing to get excited about when you hail from England. On we went to John and Carol's, who I had to make a genuine effort to talk, even though I didn't know them. I'm sick of meeting strange people I don't know, even if they are bearable. That's a bit antisocial. Not that John was. He's a semi-retired handyman. His passion is his tools, and he gets his jollies from showing innocent victims every single one. First, he showed me chainsaws, lawnmowers, and then whippersnippers and hedge trimmers. I just nodded and agreed. The low point came when he showed me some plastic wire, which he assured me was indeed 3 millimeter in diameter.
Interesting.
Cool story.
However, you don't really have much to bring to any of these conversations because you don't do anything.
Well, I can show them, champ.
And as interested as you are in the 3 millimeter whatever, I'm sure that's how interested they would be in champ.
Yeah.
If Mum thinks I should get out of Margaret's hair for a bit, and if I had any chance of avoiding another totally random appointment with people I don't know, then going to the city by myself seemed like a good idea. On my way to the city, I saw many areas I hadn't seen before, but we would regularly go along stretches of main road that were familiar, and it all connected like a puzzle. I got off at a stop near the hospital, which was adjacent to my destination, Victoria Park. For some reason, I'd kept in my possession two of their uniforms on which I'd originally laid down a deposit for. Inside their office, I was told the deposit would be transferred back to my account tonight. I hope so. After a subway in the bowels of the Maya Centre, I went to Queen Street and sent a film through for development. It turned out well, that is those from the end of the Malulabar holiday and zoo trip. I went to my favourite internet cafe near Central Station to check emails and to try and work out which format to play my video clips on. I decided I would see a film. But having seen so many recently, I was down to some slim pickings. I selected Hitch with Will Smith. I actually enjoyed it a lot. For some reason, I suddenly remember the Mars Volta's new album was out. So on almost an impulse, I snapped it up. You're not working. You've just spent at least $50 on your day out. You just never learn. There's just no learning happening.
Oh, it'll
here.
Be a few years yet.
I got up this morning with the sort of purpose that had eluded me for some time now. I had a trial session with the coffee club, which will hopefully lead to swift employment. I started at 10. Margaret has given me a lift over, which was a big help. Margaret is so nice.
Yeah.
All of the people here, you know, before we read these diaries, I've only heard your version of the story.
Uh-huh.
And they all sounded like terrible people, but they're actually all really, really nice. And they're all just doing you the biggest favor and asking Massive. For nothing in return.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're just an asshole.
Well, this is really awesome to go through because I've got like this new appreciation for all these people. And I'm thinking, gee, I had it all right.
You did. And these people have like managed to help you, you know, live your dream of living in Australia for a year or whatever it was.
Yeah. Yes, it hasn't come together on this stint to Australia, but it's really not as bad as I remember it being.
No, it's not. You've got like so much help from so many people.
Yeah.
And if you'd have just put a little bit more effort in, it might have got a bit better.
I don't know. On the work front, I've definitely tried to get work.
Or like you've tried, but you've not tried.
No, I reckon that's like one aspect of the trip that I did put yards in. It just didn't come together. There wasn't the work there that I was after. No,
but like even beyond the landscape architecture thing, which you could have tried harder at, you just didn't apply for anything else.
Wait, are you kidding? There's so many jobs I've applied for.
I don't think you've applied for enough. You're literally like...
I remember going through and counting how many jobs I applied for, like legit applied for, and it was definitely in excess of 30.
But like Irene said, applying for jobs is a full-time job.
I could have spent more time applying for work.
Yes. Yeah. And then you probably would have been more successful. This is what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not saying you didn't apply for anything.
Yeah.
I'm saying that you spent 90% of your day doing Championship Manager where you should have been
I'll put a spin on it. I'm not defending. I'll put a spin on it. I reckon I've spent more time applying for jobs than I ever have before.
Because it's the longest time you've been unemployed.
Hmm. Well, no, I mean, I've been a student, haven't I? So I haven't been.
Yeah, but you were working at the co-op.
Yeah.
So you had a job.
Yeah.
So all of the time when you've not had a job, when you should have been applying for jobs, you have.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. You're just living off of the
people. I'm trying to defend.
There's nothing to defend. There is nothing to defend. This is terrible. Anyway, this waitering thing, I can handle it. The only thing that was causing problems was the system they have of shorthand abbreviations for the orders. It's too much hard work for you. Having to learn abbreviations.
Well, they serve all the different sorts of coffees over here, don't they? And like they've got all the different fancy.
Yeah, but this is what you do when you go places. Like I remember going to Domino's Pizza, and each topping has got a different code, and each pizza has got a different code.
Yeah, but there were things you'd heard of before. I didn't know the different sorts of coffees that existed.
I didn't know what a mighty meaty pizza was.
Yeah, but you know what each one of those things is individually.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
What? All right then. What's on a mighty meaty pizza?
All of the meats.
And what else?
All the cheese and tomato and whatever. But I know what these things are. I didn't know what like a macchiato was or.
Yeah, but you have to. It's exactly the same thing, Mark. I know, like you don't know what a macchiato is, but you know what an espresso shot is. You know what milk is. You know
now
what
I
water
do.
Is.
I didn't even know what an
you
espresso
didn't know what
was.
Milk was.
No, an espresso. I didn't
well,
know.
Well, coffee.
At that point. Yeah. Do you remember earlier on in the trip? I'd never have a cappuccino before.
Which is fine, but I'm saying you know the components of it. Just like I didn't know what a mighty meaty pizza was, but I knew what salami and ham and beef was.
All right, whatever. This is a boring argument.
I was given a wad of paper with abbreviations for every drink, meal, everything else, and there wasn't a chance I'd remember it all straight away. What I did impress the girl in charge with, can't recall her name, was the fact I read the other thing she gave me. She said she'd be trialing many people and would get back to me. Oh, so this was just a job trial.
Yes, it was another shitty job trial.
But I think I did a good job over the 2 hours I worked. Do you get paid for the 2 hour job
trial?
No,
you don't get dick. It's another one of these things you do a trial for and you don't get paid for it. And then they call you later on and say, so you haven't got the job, blah, blah, blah.
There was only one other waiter. The rest were young, good-looking waitresses. I must have looked like a spaz initially, having ordered a large uniform. There was nothing large about it.
Oh, I'd forgotten that part of it.
Not fit.
Yeah, well, so I basically did that trial and it was a tight, snug fit.
It took twice as long to get off as it did to put on.
It'd be all those kebabs and Subways I've been eating.
I reckon. And wouldn't have done the old circulation any good. I got an extra large instead. On the way home, I found that Victoria Park had returned my uniform deposit. I went around the block and redeemed my free Subway sandwich for which I'd collected the stamps for. And this evening, Margaret insisted we go see another film. Well, I thought we were really scraping the barrel, but Sideways was so funny. It was a comedy with realism you don't see much these days. I'm really loving cinema.
Oh, that is such a good film. It's definitely still in my top 10. I lied about in bed just because I could. And then I mooched around the house just because I could. When I did get up, I scoffed down cookies, which made my cereal seem very ordinary. Dear me. Then I typed away on the computer on the events of the last year for my diary. Some of it's pretty funny. I reckon I could write some stuff down for a new comedy show. Badly written boy. I'm assuming Mum and Margaret have spoken to one another about trying to get me into a hostel for some time.
A hostel?
For the remaining time here. I can't believe that's what I've been reduced to. Maybe I should at least ask some of the family if I could stay with them for a while. But we're back to the whole issue of being able to pay my way. If I can get this job and my computer sells, then I'm in business. I sent some emails to Matt, Paul, Ben, Ewan, hoping someone might reply to one. The only emails I've been getting have been off Mum and the swimming club back at uni who still have me on their mailing list. Talking of swimming, Margaret took me to the pool at Chermside, which was refreshing.
Ooh, the new air of optimism that has crept in of late has fallen down the gutter before I was able to grab it. There we go. I was so happy for you in the beginning of that sentence. Early this morning, I received a letter from the coffee club, a letter of rejection. It was a cruel denial, given that I have so little time left before my April exodus.
Was there any subtext in there about why?
Not that
did
you
I scare the customers with my very tight uniform?
Tight uniform, possibly. It seems really, really shit, though, that anyone would expect you to travel all the way to their office, work for 2 hours. Like, especially, like you say, where you've got to learn. Like, what exactly are they looking for?
It's free labor.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Like, what are they looking for? Because you're not going to be able to do anything. You're not going to be able to learn all of the signs and stuff, like, in that 2 hour period.
No.
So I'm surprised they didn't just get you, like, cleaning up or something.
Nah, fuck those guys. Fuck you, coffee club.
And that I am still at this late stage, seemingly desperate for money. My feeling of dejection was to be further antagonized today. Margaret suggested I go to Chermside and look for jobs there. I agree, but she said I would have to get the bus. She had a German lesson to attend. You see? Oh, no. It was with great embarrassment I had to ask her for bus fare. Oh, I feel embarrassed just reading that. Oh, Marcus.
That is pretty low.
That is really low. I took my...
It's like school kid kind of...
Oh, my God.
I lost my bus fare.
But, like, how much would bus fare be back in that day? It's got to be, like, $2.
It's not the 50s. It would have cost, like, I don't know. But if I didn't even have the change for that, then I'm, no. Skin to skin.
It is. But also, you've been going out buying fucking CDs and going to the movies. I think this is why it, like, I feel cringy, but then it annoys me at the same time because you could have saved all that money. I took my scrappy resumes and asked in a great many stores whether they had jobs going. I handed 4 of my 5 printed resumes out, each to a place where they were genuinely looking for workers. These were Wendy's, an ice cream parlor, a KFC, and 2 different clothes shops for trendies. Realizing I had $4.42 left in my ANZ account.
That's not a lot.
I went to Coles in search of donuts.
If I had $4.42 left right now, that's exactly what I would do again. Donuts.
If you had $4.42 of our money left and you spent it on donuts, I would murder and divorce you at the same time.
I might even share them.
You do not spend, this is going to turn into an argument. You don't spend our last $4.42 on donuts.
It's an excellent thing to spend.
No, Mark, let's not get into this because I will get very upset. My depressed state would become more so as I got home and received a polite, it's time for you to move on speech from Margaret.
Oh, man.
What? I wonder why you've been so helpful and so useful, paying your own way, etc. How long have you haven't even been there for that long.
No, I thought it was longer than that. What are we in, like a
it's
week
like the
or
11th
two?
Of March, yeah.
So it's not even a couple of weeks in.
No.
Although... No, I was there for a while when Mitch was there.
Yeah. She thinks it would be a bad idea to spend my last 5 weeks staying with her for both our sakes and that I should go and live with other family. It's a nice idea, but in reality, I won't move back to Dad.
Not much dignity left.
No. I mean, I feel sorry for you, but you have brought a lot of it on yourself.
Yeah.
And I only feel sorry for you because I love you now. I feel like if I knew you back then...
You would have told me to piss off as well.
I would have been one of those people telling you to get out of my house. No, I don't think I could have dated 21-year-old Mark.
No. You said that last episode as well.
Yeah. I might say it every episode for the next few
years.
Yeah,
one per episode.
I don't even know what changed. After a lot of thinking, I've reluctantly come to the conclusion and is the only option I have left. I will have to move back to Dad's. Margaret made it clear once again that she wants me to move on and I can only respect those wishes. Oh my gosh, she told you twice in 2 days to get out of her house. What did you do? Did you do anything specific or do you think it's just because you were bludgeoning?
Oh, I mean, she knows that I don't have, you know, more than $5 to rub together. but I think, you know, Dad was the only option really, but
I'm just surprised that Margaret's actually to move on so quickly.
How it all actually happens.
I cannot stress enough how much I don't want to go to Dad's. It will send out all the wrong signals and it's such a contradiction of everything I stand for. I rang Mum and explained the situation and she had no alternatives for me. Oh my God, Dad will think I've forgiven him. I repulse at the very thought. I feel like I'm conceding in my moment of triumph. It's humiliating. It's like my army of options, which represents my independence, are standing in a line on the battlefield, pointing and laughing at me. We're not on your side anymore. And I'm just standing there with my pants around my ankles, being taunted by the other parliamentary members of life.
Jesus, what an image.
Oh my. Who's making the deals around here, fuckers? I'm getting a raw deal. It's definitely not your fault.
No, it's still in denial.
Yeah, it's definitely the universe.
But I like how I put that. That was actually not too badly written at all.
I finished reading The Secret Life to the Gold Coast. The author's experience of the Gold Coast paradise was equally as unfulfilling as mine. I related to Brendan Shannon's experience on so many different levels, it was uncanny. Where do people actually get breaks in this country? Financial breaks, employment breaks? Because ever since I got here, it's all been a fucking mirage and I can't seem to pull my pants up.
I don't know. The Gold Coast wasn't all bad, was it?
But I also think if you'd have just tried harder and got a job, everything would have been fine. You still would have been with Irene. If you were out of the house a bit more, you know, and not in her space and not taking, you know, and not just being there laying about while she's working her ass off. And if you'd have been a bit more...
We've already been through this.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, you're like, oh my God, I'm just sitting here with my pants down. It's still not my fault. But if you'd have just tried a bit harder, you would have had a completely different experience.
Hindsight.
You had a nice social group there.
This morning, I decided to leave a message on Irene's phone asking about my things, of which High Fidelity had been added to. I did not expect a swift reply, that is to say, not a reply on the day that I left the message, but I did. And to my surprise, Irene says all my things have turned up, including my mobile phone. What a timely bit of fantastic news, I thought. Irene said she'd have called me, but had lost my number. Sounds about right. I said I'd pick all of the stuff up at some point, though there was no offer on her part to try and get it all back to me. Jesus, Mark. For much of the day, I watched TV, the end of the 25th hour. I lied on my bed, listened to the music and played Tetris in an almost comatose state. Now that Champ doesn't seem to want to work on the computer, that is what I have to do for entertainment now. This evening I was drawn away from the absorbing Broncos game on TV to go for dinner at the Kedron Wavell RSL. We were having dinner with John, the tall man, and Carol, plus their son Troy, who had a tendency not to speak. When he did speak, you couldn't hear him because he didn't open his mouth. I ate lots and found conversation understimulating, apart from the odd derogatory comment from John. Margaret said, "Don't trust good-looking women," and John said, "Don't trust the ugly ones either." Whilst browsing through the job section for Saturday's paper, there was a job in a juice bar, so I faxed my resume through. Faxed.
That is old school. I mean, like, I feel like it's good that you are still looking for a job, even though there's only like 4 or 5 weeks to go.
Scraping the barrel, like, what am I going to get? 2 weeks' work? 3 weeks' work? I didn't ring Dad today. I'll do that tomorrow or Wednesday. I'd like more of a chance to find his house keys. He lent me. They've disappeared into the void. It seems as though as one of the things turns up, another one hides. This evening, we watched the final of weight loss program called The Biggest Loser.
Biggest Loser. Classic.
Yeah. But during the reunion show afterwards, Margaret was getting right on my tits. I wish she would think for a nanosecond before she opens her overused gob. I've tried ignoring her, but she's got so much waffle, she's practically talking with herself. Yeah, I feel pretty bad.
Yeah, you probably should.
Poor Margaret.
Poor Margaret. She's just trying to be nice, isn't she?
Yeah.
And she's done you a solid.
I've got literally no one else to have conversation with.
No. And you're complaining.
Yeah.
And she's trying to take you out and do nice things with you and she's paying for things and she's letting you live in a house and she's cooking you dinner.
A miserable 20-something git.
Mm-hmm. Well, here we go again. Margaret did some stupid things yesterday. We were sitting watching TV this evening. She told me a snake had got into the house and she had no intention of removing it. A fucking snake? Oh, they'll find their way out, she said, indicating this was not the only occasion she let dangerous animals into her home free of charge.
I don't know if she let me in.
Then over dinner, she told me she'd rang Dad to get him to pick me up on Friday, despite me never having actually called him yet. She really wants you out.
No, hang on. Say that again.
Then over dinner, she told me that she'd rang Dad to get him to pick me up on Friday, despite me never having actually called him yet. So she's called your dad up and said, you need to come and get him because I'm done with him because you were taking too long to call your dad.
I know who did and it wasn't her.
Who was it?
No, I'm not going to tell you yet.
Oh, do we find out?
Yeah.
Okay.
She didn't make the call.
Well, Well, geez, talk about going over my head. She really stepped over the line this time. I did the stupidly long journey to Southport to get my phone and other shit. Irene and Christy were sitting on the smoky veranda, dragging away like trash, and Ray lumbered around in the background. I literally took the stuff, chucked through it, and left. Not that Irene said anything about the fact the phone was there all along, bitch. I got Margaret to take me to the cash machine and library yesterday. Ooh, I wonder how much money you're going to get out of the cash machine. The latter of which wasn't open yet, so I went straight to town. I firstly went to the Palace, a backpacker's lodge over from Central, to utilise their job seeker's desk. Two enthusiastic job searchers were on hand to try and get jobs for myself and the other multinational backpacking cast. Before I knew it, I had a trial booked with a car cleaning firm in Hendra near the airport. I was, however, a sucker of a victim for paying the Palace's $45 charge for the job seeker service.
So I'm getting charged to look for work now.
Getting charged to look for work.
Did I pay it?
I don't know. You did pay it. I'd say never mind, but that was almost half of my money gone.
Jesus, that's not smart.
What assholes? I wonder if they told you that there was a charge for it. That's why they were enthusiastic, because they're getting paid $45 a time.
Yeah. I mean, cheap, cheap labour, backpackers.
Yeah. I did this trial anyway, washed and vacuumed a car. I'm told I might even have to do the occasional pickup and drop off at the airport.
So I did another trial.
And you paid $45 to do it.
I paid someone $45 to clean somebody else's car.
Yeah.
Jesus.
When I eventually got back, Margaret swiftly handed the phone to me. It was Mum. She was very concerned about me. She said Margaret had been difficult on the phone and wondered if I'd provoked her in some way. I don't think so. Anyway, Mum was in floods of tears and feels powerless. What are you doing? You're ruining the lives of everybody around you.
Right, maybe I'll just let the cat out of the bag. It was Mum that made the call.
Your mum called your dad?
Mum called my dad to say,
oh my God,
he's gonna have to stay with you.
She must have been real. If your mother called your dad, she must have been really fucking desperate for you.
Yep.
Margaret must have been really pissed off about something.
I 100% did not want to go and stay with him.
No, I know.
I didn't have any choice.
Yeah.
And then Mum's had to make the call to him to say, look, you're going to have to take him in.
That is so bad.
It is horrendous. Yeah.
Margaret must have been really pissed off. She must have said something to your mother.
Oh, look, they'll have had a discussion and I've not flipped her out or anything. It's probably that I haven't given her any money.
Because wasn't your mum sending you money to give to Margaret?
I know she was sending me money.
Yeah, but you weren't giving it to Margaret.
I honestly don't know. It sounds like the kind of thing I probably wouldn't have done.
I don't think you would have, because you were spending it on CDs and shit. That would piss me off more than anything. You know, like if you've lent someone money and they're like, oh, I'm really poor, I can't afford to pay you back. And the next thing, they've got like a 50-inch TV in their house. And you're just like, what the fuck, man? That's you.
Do you reckon?
But in someone's house.
Yeah.
It is.
I don't know if I would have stooped that low.
And then, please, sir, can I have some bus money, please?
No.
You should go into town and look for jobs. Okay. Can you drive me?
Surely not. Is that something that I would have done?
I don't think you would have done it on purpose to be like, I'm an arsehole,
well,
I'm going to keep the money.
You either do give them the money that you're being given, or you
don't. But I think if Margaret hasn't directly asked you and said, you can come and stay at my house, but it's going to be £200 a month or whatever it is, I think if she hasn't directly done that, then you wouldn't think to give her money for food and lodging, because you'll just be like, oh, she's doing my mum a favour. She just says I can stay. And you know, like your selfish kind of teenage mentality is, oh, well, I need my money because I don't have a job, so I need to keep it all for
100%.
Myself.
Yeah.
So you would have thought that Margaret would be doing you a favor on behalf of your mum, but also you're a grown man that eats a lot of food and you should be at least paying for your own food.
It's me like capitalizing on the goodwill of others,
which is what has happened essentially the whole time you've been in Australia. And this is where your problems have come in.
I think this is a low point, I'm going to say.
I'm glad we're reading it 20 years later, where the sore points have gone and you've forgotten most of it, so you don't feel too traumatised.
Well, I'd kind of...
Do you feel embarrassed by your behaviour?
Oh, this is horrendous. Yeah. But I must have blocked so much of this from my
mind. But you don't like retain detail, do you? Really?
No, not those sorts of details.
No.
Like, I just recall it being a shit year.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, put that to bed.
Yeah, you know. And you wouldn't, and if I ever found diaries like from mine, which I never wrote, but you know what I mean? If I ever found in detail recollections of what happened to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like, even the thing that I find cringy now, I'm sure it was 10 times as cringy like when it actually happened.
Well, that's what this is all about.
Poor you. I couldn't do this. I feel like you're very brave.
What, going through this?
Oh, my God. I would have given up, like, months ago.
It's nostalgic, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I would be embarrassed if I were you.
Oh, yeah. It's there, but, you know. I think.
It's like you're a different person. It's not even you.
Okay, let's see where it goes. I mostly packed clothes away today. I went through old papers and magazines I didn't need to keep. I really could
Sorry. Why did Margaret say it was her that called your dad? Was that just to protect your mum?
No. I made the assumption.
Oh, you just made an assumption. Right, okay.
But I don't think I found out that it was mum until some time later.
Mm.
Dad's keys still haven't turned up. Which will really get the reunion off to a flyer once I tell him. I think things went well as they could have done. I had a big packing operation on my hands, which also involved me cleaning the room I'd been staying in. I don't know what Margaret has really thought of me as a house guest, but I can only leave the room the way I found it. I also left half the money I had from Mum and Granny, which should help. So I did leave some money. I left half of it, though. I wonder if it was all meant to be for her.
Maybe. And probably if you've been given money like along the way.
Yeah.
Because the issue would have been that you've been there for...
I don't think I have been giving you money.
I
would have said... I definitely would have said this.
Yeah, I don't think you've given her any money. And if your mum's been giving you money, it will have been, you know, to give her... to help supplement the food and stuff along the way. And you're only leaving it now because you feel bad. Like, it's a total afterthought.
Whilst moving a chair in the room so I could vacuum, a few things were dislodged from the cushioning, one of which happened to be a set of keys, Dad's house keys. Hooray! You'll never know I lost them until I'd say on a podcast. nothing left in the abyss anymore, despite being the most organised I've ever been in moving away from anywhere.
and ever will be in the future.
it was just as well she fed me before I left, though, because Dad had fuck all in the house, just a few beers. He didn't talk much in the car on the way home, but I'm fine with that. Dad scurried around in the background, making his own dinner and readying himself for a walk tomorrow. Of course, I'm not going. For a moment in the car, when he mentioned it briefly, I thought I might have been roped in.
Dad was away on his walk before I even got up, so I was able to get on with what I had to do undisturbed. Wanking. Not that there was much to disturb. I unpacked a bit of my stuff, clothes mainly, and ventured under the home to clean some of them. There was more than a tinge of deja vu about the events of today. Basically, it was a mirror image of every other Sunday I've spent with Dad since we've been back in Australia. Shopping in the morning and Granny and Grandpa's for dinner in the evening. I can't be bothered being me anymore. It's too tedious. Oh, you've got such a hard life. Too boring. That's all that's worth writing about today. I need an escape from this mundane, choking lifestyle. Everyone is a cog in the works of this society, but I get the impression I'm a loose bit of paper fluttering around this mechanical warehouse, occasionally getting caught on other cogs. I get glimpses of the different lifestyles, but not for long. We are slipping down a little hole of depressione, it feels.
It's pretty depressing. I was about halfway through watching Human Traffic this evening, and amidst the confusion of what to do next with myself, it just came to me. I think I want to go back to Sheffield. I don't know if it was the persistence of Matt's emails wondering if I would come back or not, but I suddenly feel as though things are making sense, like I've just pulled my head out of the clouds. So why the enthusiasm all of a sudden? Well, I was thinking of the friends I have there, many of which will be there for next year at the uni. They seem very important to me, not to say that those Newcastle don't, but they're more like the friends from the past who I've drifted away from and I can't relate to as well as I used to. It would be nice to rekindle those old friendships, but I have to think about where I want to be. I love Sheffield and Newcastle equally, so either of these places will be fine. As far as jobs go, well, I don't even know if I really still want to do landscape architecture anymore.
Oh dear.
But there are practices in both cities. I might even try something different like acting or DJing.
Acting. Do you not remember? You were going to be a model and everybody was staring at you because they just knew how gorgeous you were.
Yeah, I reckon.
But that was before you ate all of the food and turned into a fat Englishman.
I know. My head is massive ego-wise and because of consumption of donuts. I'll have to get an email out to Matt tomorrow to see if he's still looking for housemates. God, I'm so excited about this. Today, I almost went to the pool for a swim. Almost. And to try and get some of a tan, but I thought I'd conserve my funds and do it another day. I put my computer in next weekend's shopper, and I knocked 50 quid off it because no one's replied to last weekend's ad. 400 is a reasonable ask. I went for a jog and felt knackered. I didn't do the normal routes. I took a few detours through some streets and looked at the beautiful skyline beyond the church car park on Bank Street. I was woken by Dad, who was letting me know that the termite inspector was in the house. He shot off to work and ate breakfast whilst the inspector banged a device around, which I presume had some scientific basis for his actions, rather than just banging to scare the termites off. As it turned out, there was none to scare off, just ants. I phoned home to speak of my sudden inspiration to return to Sheffield. It was Michelle I spoke with, and we had a hearty conversation on how things were going in our respective lives. I got the goss on her new fella, Dave from Cornwall, who studied criminology. Then I called Matt Forty and let him know my enthusiasm for a return to Sheffield. He has nothing sorted yet and wondered if I knew anyone else who would like to share a house. I guess I'll just email some people and check it out. This afternoon, I went for a swim at Newmarket Pool. The place was almost deserted and it was quite relaxing. Have we turned a corner?
Oh, maybe. Now that you're planning on going back to the UK. I saw a brief ad in the careers newspaper for telemarketers, so I decided to drop them a line.
Really?
You are desperate.
I know, but I'm not there for that much longer.
Well, now you need to save up enough money to get a house deposit so you can go live in Sheffield.
Yeah, I guess.
Though they were marked as being at Central, the office was actually beyond South Bank. I had no quibbles about heading in the direction. I love South Bank, but I rarely get a good reason to pass it by. It was late afternoon and school kids were just being released into the world once again. I wandered through streets I'd never seen, but I got there in the end. The office was much like the one at Antina's, but much more like a classroom as opposed to a set of individual cells. The interview was brisk and offered almost no challenge at all. The pay is okay, $14 an hour, and South Brisbane train station is on the Ferny Grove line, the one which leads back to Alderley. I may find myself taking up this job over that labour-intensive car cleaning jip up at Hendra. The daft dozy bitch hadn't even got back to me about that anyway, so stuff her. Yeah, because you pay $45 to go and clean the car for free. I blitzed my privilege card at the Palace Backpackers place. I used the majority of my internet time sending out a mass message looking for housemates for back in Sheffield. I also asked Anita about snaring her job once she got back to uni. I decided I should probably have a go at a landscape position. To have gone through the stress of my degree and not made any use of it would be a crime against myself. This evening I got a call from someone who wants to buy my PC. He and his wife came around, an older couple, and had a fair old gander at my want-away machine. He took my mobile number and said he'd get back to me, which I think he will. He seemed satisfied with what he saw. He definitely won't get back to you.
I can't remember if I actually sell it.
I travelled great distances to get things done today, distances which ended with resentment.
Okay, here we go.
Firstly, I was concerned I would not have enough money to go to work today and visit Grandpa and Granny tomorrow. I took some of my CDs and DVDs to a cash converter to get some dollars. Oh my God, I can't believe you actually sold them.
Desperation.
I got shitty prices for all my goods and it took ages to walk to and from Gaythorne in the heat. I had received a phone call off the boss at Telemarketers who wanted me to start at 4. So I went all the way out to South Brisbane again and walked to the office. I was truly shattered by this stage. And the job itself was a real shitter. The product was lame and I hated bothering people just to try and get them to buy a voucher book for a whopping $90, which was ridiculous. It gets worse. It wasn't even 3 hours into the shift and the boss rang to tell everyone they were all fired.
This actually took the piss.
That is insane.
Yeah.
That decision had arisen because of the low sales figures from the previous week. So essentially, he rang me this morning to fire me this evening. He didn't even tell everyone himself. He got poor Colleen, the office manager, to notify all. I don't even know if I'll get paid for my labour 3 hours worth. Not that I got paid for the 2 hour trial at the coffee club or the hour I did at the car cleaning rental place. I had a missed call on my mobile. I don't know if that was the car rental place trying to tell me my hours for next week or if it was the old guy ringing about the computer again. It was a private number. That is horrendous.
Yep. You see what I mean? Like, just really... Fuck. Jerked around and nothing's coming good.
No.
Today was Good Friday and a Good Friday is exactly what I had. It was due up at Granny and Grandpa's for around 10. Granny warned me on the phone that it would be difficult with the public transport as it was a public holiday. I managed to get up in time via two trains and a taxi the rest of the way, which I shared with two Zimbabwean and two Swedes who agreed to share a taxi. How did I manage that? After that, I was completely skint. I managed to put that aside and enjoy my time with my grandparents. We had some tea, went out to Redcliffe Jetty to watch the boats and parachutes decorate the peninsula. And we walked a bit. We went to theirs for lunch. Grandpa must have read my mind because he thrust $50 more in my direction.
Nice.
Which put my mind at ease. They agreed to pick me up and take me home on Easter Sunday, which will be going to Patricia's. The lift I got from Grandpa to Sandgate Station was a bit chaotic, but I got there in the end. I was keen to get home as I'd been receiving calls from the other guy who wanted my computer. I thought I might be in for some haggling. That's exactly what I got. He came at around 5-ish and liked what he saw, but immediately tried to knock down the price. He tried playing the pity case. I'm a student, which was lame. He got me down to $350, which I accepted because I needed it off my hands. So that's $400 in the coffers from today.
Happy Easter, all you chocolate lovers out there. I'd like to confirm I ate all the chocolate I had yesterday, which may have only amounted to one hollow bunny, but I devoured it anyway. This morning I had a good old cooked breakfast for a change rather than the scarcely cereal boredom flakes Dad has abundance of. I was ready long before Granny and Grandpa came to pick me up. We drove over to Arana Hills where Patricia's house is, and it only seemed like yesterday I was there for Christmas. Once we were greeted and seated, it soon became difficult to come up with anything at all to talk about, so I just sat there. For a moment, I thought we were not going to get a proper meal, but we were eventually ushered onto the veranda at the back, where Patricia and Alison brought out chicken, rice, and salad dish. Before this ensued, Patricia asked if I would plant 3 of her trees, which I found bizarre. Would I get my meal and a swim in your pool if I said no? I replied, yes. She may as well have said what she meant. If you're good for nothing else, you're good for planting my trees. You're a gardener after all, right? I still can't believe she invited you around for lunch. I mean, knowing her now, she's got a couple of screws loose. So I'm sure in her own way, she thought she was doing you a favour.
Oh, I was not happy about that.
I'm not surprised. Like, this is March. It's hot in Brisbane.
Yeah.
And you're meant to be going around for dinner. And she got you planting 3 trees.
Yeah.
And trees.
Mm.
Trees. And you're going to get, like, muddy and dirty and...
Oh, I think it was around the side of her house.
Yeah.
And I remember it wasn't easy work, but I just remember thinking, like, can I say no to this?
You can't, really.
But, you know, then I thought, she's thinking, oh, he's a, you know, she must have known I was an aspiring landscape architect, but
I mean,
I think I still had this sort of snobbery about me where I was like, ugh, I'm not going to get my hands dirty for that.
Well, it's not, like, I wouldn't ever invite somebody around, family member or not, for dinner and, like, ask them to plant trees.
And like, I haven't seen her for months.
No, unless the only time it would is like if it's in a conversation before, like, oh, I really need this doing, or I can come and help you. All right, great, come over and I'll feed you. Do you know what I mean? Like, unless it's that kind of conversation.
And it was just sprung.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that. After lunch and after the sweat of having dug the trenches and planted the trees, she had the fucking nerve to tell me how sweet it was for me to have done it. That would have really pissed you off.
Yeah, that's like table flipping, like.
I can just imagine your face. You would have been so pissed off.
Yeah.
So pissed off. Your rage would have been boiling. I can't believe you didn't say anything. It wasn't as though I leant in the window with a rose between my teeth and whispered, roses are red, violets are blue. Can I put this Decidiums 3 in the alfalfa? That doesn't even work.
It's not fucking meant to.
I earned my swim, needless to say, although I didn't relax my bladder as much as Patricia's actions may have justified. You're such a dick.
Mitch, I should have told her to get fucked, definitely.
Well, you could have at least pissed in a pool. Like, that would have been a good...
Yeah.
Every moment that remained prior to Dad's arrival from his Easter trip was bliss, and every second beyond that was pure mental torment. He doesn't even have to do anything to provoke me now. His mere presence is disturbing enough. And then when he does do something annoying, it just emphasizes the frustration of having to bear him for another 24 days. It makes my blood boil. This evening, I was particularly afflicted by his query on whether there had been enough food to last. I'm still here, aren't I? I would have said no, but I avoided saying yes and instead said I had to buy some with money Grandpa gave me and also with the computer money.
He almost squealed with glee with this information and no doubt was particularly satisfied. I got not 400, but 350 for it. And then when I told him of my tree planting at Patricia's, he seemed unsurprised, as though he had invited such actions or had anticipated them without warning me. I wouldn't put it past him.
That wouldn't surprise me.
What?
Like, if your dad just volunteered
him to plant some trees for you.
Yeah, volunteered you, yeah. Like, I assume he's being nice by saying, you know, did you have enough food in the house to last? And you, again, not wanting to pay your way. Uh-huh. Just like, oh, well, I had to use some of my own money to buy food. Like,
like it's some sort of separate currency or something.
That's what I mean. That's money for me to spend on CDs. Yeah, not
money for me, yeah, not for you.
Not for food. He cooked his grotty tuna tomato pasta, which is 33% of his cooking talent, for dinner, which I ate without pinching my nose, closing my eyes and swallowing in one. I did have to console my taste buds later on with a trip to Macca's for a McFlurry. It did cross my mind to ask for an application form, but I have 3 weeks left and it'll probably take them that long to get back to me. I rang the rent-a-car place again, but that slack bitch wasn't in, so I'll have to ring again tomorrow and beg for hours. You are just so abusive to people. The amount of names that you're calling people.
This is where I vent, isn't it? I'm not saying these things to anyone's face.
No.
It's just funny seeing that, like, angry insight.
Angry Mark. If I don't get that job, I'm fucked. I'd have to go back to the Palace Job Centre again. There's so little time left, I'll probably have to stack bricks or some shit like that.
What a happy month.
So happy. This is hard. I'm looking forward to this month being over.
Having once again called the car rental place, left my number and not had a reply over whether or not they would be giving me any hours, I decided enough was enough. I sent some fuck you mind bullets in their direction.
Pew pew, pew pew.
And if they ever call back, they'll get some verbal bullets too.
Amazing.
You can't just mess people around like that. I also didn't receive a call from the Trade Saver advertising boss to let me know if I would have to pay. The lack of income from a job has now narrowed my path down to England to a single lane traffic. I'm going to have to once again try and reschedule my flight back to England and just make a direct flight. No Malaysia, no KL, no Langkawi, no nothing. It's just a pretty typical thing for me to have to do if any of the events of the past few months are concerned. I wasn't particularly looking forward to going to an earthquake-ridden part of the world anyway. I hadn't mentioned it yet, but it was Dad's birthday on the 25th of March. I didn't get him a present or wish him a happy birthday, not that I remembered or that he was around to receive any such things. It was just kind of embarrassing yesterday as it dawned upon me at the dinner table, but it was a silent realization. I didn't have any money to get him anything anyway. I had the money from the computer, but he didn't deserve anything from me anyway.
No, you were far too busy spending your own money on food to stay alive.
McFlurries.
How are you going to rearrange the tickets? It cost you money last time.
Yeah, maybe I'll save something because I'm not spending anything on the connections in Malaysia. Instead of flying to Malaysia and staying there for a while, I now stop only at KL for a few hours. This will take place on the 22nd. This will require confirmation on the 1st of April, which is Friday. Now, knowing that I no longer have to worry about having a holiday to pay for, I decided to go and buy something.
Oh my God. You do not understand the concept of saving.
Not at all. Okay, so what did I buy? There's been a few releases recently that I didn't think I would be able to get a hold of, but Daft Punk has a new one out called Human After All. I also read in a free circulated paper that the creators, two former students, are in fact French, and they've taken great care in denying the press of exposure of their identity.
Is it going to be a good day or a bad day? Today was one of those in-between days.
Just an in-between day?
In-between day. All filler, no killer. I did receive a call earlier this morning from Mum and Michelle. Michelle now seems convinced she will get booted off her course, having had a third warning letter from uni. Mummy's up in arms about it all. Oh, I'm nearly 50 and I thought this would be my time to get my life back on track, she complained, realising that Michelle and I will continue to be a financial burden for some time. It's alarming, though, that everyone I've spoken to is looking forwards to seeing me, but insist I'm crazy for wanting to come back to the UK. The Australian Sun has warned the I hate English weather quote away, which had been etched upon my mind, but back to Mum's woes. I think half of her pain is the envy of what a comfortable lifestyle Dad is having while she continues to struggle. Sure, it sucks, but I've come to realise it's a bad thing to dwell on hatred.
Oh my God. Says you.
It is in principle, but I think every page in here is me insulting
you,
somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, in principle, you are completely correct. In actuality, you are a massive fucking hypocrite. I had a nice idea. I could accompany Mum to one of those speed dating nights.
What?
Because
read that again.
Because you said I got a nice idea. I could accompany Mum to one of those speed dating nights. Because exactly what she wants is to take her single bludging son out when she's going to go and try and date men. What the F?
I have not written that.
You have written. I even made that up. It's right here in black and white.
Am I saying that I'm getting involved with that? Or
you're basically,
I would assume that I would be.
You're going to accompany her. So you're just going to take her. Because she can't. Because they have they have an age limit.
This is fully weird. So she'd be going from person to person on this speed dating.
Yeah.
This is my son.
Just that's what I mean.
Just dragging me along.
She'd be thinking, do you approve, Mark? Is this one okay?
This is so funny.
This is ridiculous. Yes, this is ridiculous.
This is something you would get on Peep Show.
How do you think that this is okay? Because you've come from this.
Just put this bag over your head while we go around, please.
You've come from this in that Mum's really upset that your dad is comfortable and she's struggling. And the reason she's struggling is because you guys are all bludging off her, essentially. Mm-hmm. And the only thing to fix that is for her to find a man, obviously. I think she's forgotten the happiness of even the most lighthearted of dating scenarios. Because you are so experienced in the dating world and have to make women happy. Dad's been married and divorced twice, and I'm suspicious of his relationship with Janine, a woman from Bushwalking who he's going to America with. Mum told Margaret my PC's been sold, and Margaret told the Trading Post. I would have gotten away without having to pay them, but her oversized leather tongue has cast $43 from my wallet. And she fucking lied to Mum about how much I gave her, and I can't even give her shit because she stole Mum's friend. That was a turnaround for the end of the day. So you've sold...
Break that down.
So you've sold your PC. So first of all, you're going to take your mum's speed date because your mum needs a bit of cock. Because remember how happy Irene was when she had all that abdominal pain from your giant penis. Do you remember that? So that's what made Irene happy. So that's what your mum needs. So you're going to help by taking a speed date in.
Yep.
No, it's because it's the only thing that can fix her. Obviously, she needs to go speed dating.
Okay.
So that happened. And then we were talking about your dad getting married and divorced twice. And that your dad's a complete fuck up. So your mum should get another man.
It's a weird kind of rant, isn't it?
It is. And then your mum told Margaret that your PC's been sold. And Margaret told the Trading Post, which means the Trading Post are now chasing you for $43 for your sold thing. Why would she tell them? You weren't even at her house when you sold the PC.
Yeah.
And this all seems very, very strange.
So I'm assuming that they would have called her.
Maybe.
Where I placed the ad from?
Yeah.
If they've got a landline?
Yeah, because you didn't have your phone, did you? Because you left it at Irene's.
Yeah.
Maybe you put her landline down.
Maybe.
And she fucking lied to Mum about how much I gave her. I don't think that's true. So I think this comes back to where you were saying that, you know, you obviously left Margaret half the money. So she's probably, so if that was $100, she said, oh, I've given you $100. Well, your mum's like, well, I sent him $400 to give you. So she's probably not lied. It's just that you forgot that that money was meant for Margaret and spent it on yourself.
Oh, maybe. But, like, I'm such a tightwad at this point. Like, I wouldn't put it past me.
But you're not a tightwad on yourself and donuts. You've always got enough money for that. And when you really deserve a treat.
If I had $4.42 in my pocket now, I'd buy a donut. That was a pretty good end to a month.
It was just very random and insane, wasn't it, really?
Had a bit of everything.
I mean, I'm suffering through these months. I'm actually quite looking forward to you going back to England.
Yeah.
I don't think I can deal with another...
It's pretty wild.
It's just traumatic.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you ever wanted to come back to Australia again, to be honest. I can't cope with any more tonight. It's been too much. That last bit...
That was a curveball.
That last bit about you wanting to take your mother speed dating. I'm assuming that never happened. I really, really hope that never happened. I don't think your mother would let it happen. Oh, yes, this is my son. He's just come to check all my dates.
Yeah, you just the cursory glances from whoever she speaks to.
Exactly. He's staring at me.
Yeah, who's this?
You want to finish this episode off?
I want to.
Do you want to?
I'm trying to finish this episode.
I'm
tired.
Stop it talking.
Feels like I've been told off.
Am I like Margaret? Actually. You deserve to be told off, do you not?
It's 20 years overdue, though.
Well, I feel like you've learned from it, have you not?
I definitely feel like I've learned from it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're just revisiting the cringe. It physically hurts me, so I need to...
there was so much of that that I honestly have completely forgotten.
It's not forgotten. It's blacked out of your mind.
You know, the whole year was a mess. Not even a year. It's all a mess. And I've got a different appreciation of that year now that I've gone back through it. Like, I'd rather recall it for how it was rather than just trying to, like, kid myself.
Mm.
So it's kind of, it's humbling in a way.
Yeah. That's a nice way to put it.
I don't, you know, there was some good stuff that happened, but much of it was shit.
Was it the sex? Was that the good stuff? The virginity losing?
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
And all the CDs that you got to buy, and all the DVDs you got to watch.
Which I then had
and
to resell.
All at the Championship Manager you got to play.
Mm.
And all the free accommodation. Everyone loves free accommodation.
I know. I milked it for all it was worth.
You certainly
and
did.
And some.
And some. Okay.
Good day.
Goodbye.
This is the end of another episode, but before we go, we have a favour to ask. No, it doesn't involve $4.42 for a donut. We really appreciate our listener, but oddly enough, we think our podcast, Badly Written Boy, merits a few more listeners, so please spread the word. Pick your moments though, like when your friend is about to do their baby gender reveal, or when their kid is on stage, about to perform, or maybe when you're lost for what to say as your relative's breathing slows in the hospital bed. Pipe up! No one cares about the baby. The show's over. You didn't like your auntie anyway. There's another episode of Badly Written Boy on its way. Good day.